You hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dingin Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It is a Tuesday. It is week one of the NFL season, the 2025-2026 NFL season. It's Tuesday at 7, which means it's Dingin Hughes time. Get in the news with Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan, sponsored by Yuengling and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beers. No way to get light about it, Dingin. It starts to get heavy this week as Sao Paulo, Brazil. You ready for the trip? You ready for week one to see these guys start going after it?
Well, man, let me just tell you, we got to be quiet because, you know, the Chargers, we're supposed to be a little scared of them because, you know, Jim Harbaugh's there. So maybe we should talk lightly, guys, and you know, just be really, really careful because the Chargers are supposed to win the AFC West again. Oh, my goodness.
Every team is supposed to win the West but us, Dingin.
I didn't know Dingin was in the Likens Library, but man, I love that you got your library card this year for the Likens Library. Dingin, I think that's great. That's how you start this interview off because man, it seems like this offseason it was had the Chiefs, you know, finally fell out of their dynasty reign. Is Denver gonna do it again? They got the best defense in the league. They have a second year quarterback and a Super Bowl winning coach. Then there's that weirdo in Los Angeles with Jim Harbaugh with quotes that I don't know anything that he ever says. It's just like what Mahomes set it up in Adams on Kay Adams' show. Let's just play football.
Yeah. I mean, when it's all said and done, you got to lace them up and you got to line up between the lines. And then you can show who's the best team, who's the more physical team, who's the more talented team. And then in our case, who's the team that just knows how to win. And I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday is having a team and people will scrutinize us from last year. They watch the kingdom. They see the games. They talk about the refs and blah, blah, blah. But we figure out ways to win when teams figure out ways to lose. And that is the epitome of a championship team that has shown itself to be a championship way of living for us, a way of life for us. And I think that's a badge that we can kind of, you know, we can poke out our chest. We can feel good about ourselves. And because I played on teams that knew how to win during a regular season, but didn't know how to win in the postseason. And the depth of disparity that comes with that when you have a team, and that's what the Chargers have been. Let's face it. They have been a team that you can look at their roster. You can look at their numbers with Jim Harbaugh, before Jim Harbaugh, and you say, you know what, this team is very talented. They can get things done, but they just didn't know how to win those important games. Now we're going to clash in Brazil, and with the record of Andy Reid in September, the record of Patrick Mahomes and these guys together in September, like I like our chances. They're going over there for business. It's not a vacation. It's not a, you know, some kind of trip that you know, we're going to be sightseeing or doing anything like that. They're going over there for business, and I like our chances. I don't think it's a time where you can ever bet against the Chiefs or feel good about betting against the Chiefs in the early part of the season.
Yeah, Dingin, and I'm glad you kind of bring all that up about knowing how to win because there's this stat that's been floating around last year, like the Chiefs are like 10-0 in one score games or something like that. You look around the NFL, most games are one score games in this league. I mean, that's how close the NFL is. So I don't necessarily buy into that stat per se, but what I do buy into is knowing how to win when it's late. And I think all the stuff that people said last year about the luck and all that really discredits what these guys put in and the extra effort that they put in to find ways to win these football games. It's not luck that they're winning these games.
It's absolutely not. And here's the thing is I think the fans, and I love them, and there's a lot of knowledgeable fans out there, but then there's a lot of people with aggressive thumbs on X, and they, you know, get on social media and they downgrade the accomplishments of this team and making excuses like that, too many close games, etc. That's what the NFL is built for. That's what's made it you know, the top of the top of the heap in regards to all professional sports now. It used to be America's pastime was baseball, and NFL has become a 365-day business. And when you watch these guys on the field, what's made it so good is the parity. It's the parity in regards to how good other teams are, the draft, the way it's set up, free agency, the way it's set up. And these teams, especially in the AFC West, have been trying and trying and trying to figure out ways to dethrone the Chiefs.
Yep.
And they just haven't been able to do it. I mean, we're going to be embarking upon our hopefully 10th straight AFC West championship. It starts this week, this Friday against the Chargers, but to discredit these guys and their accomplishments, or to just try to find some little chink in the armor where you can say, you know what, they too many close games. Well, okay, I'll take that any day of the week. And I think, you know, if we start to see this team blow teams out, I kind of feel like that I might be a little concerned about that, because that could be setting us up for something else later in the season. But winning a game, like you guys have always heard me say, I'll take a win. If we win 3-2 in Brazil, I'm cool.
You're cool. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. That's the way I look at it. The only numbers I look at are the final ones, who had more points than the other team, and that's ultimately what matters, and that's why we sit here with the best team and best organization right now in the NFL. How do you think they survived? I hate saying survive, because they survived the whole season without Rashee Rice, but what do you think for the first six games of the year without him?
Definitely a blow, because I feel like this was going to be one of those prove-it years for Rashee, and if he would have had the opportunity where the NFL and the legal system would have been delayed, where there wouldn't have been a suspension this year, I think he would have played with a chip on his shoulder, and it would have been a very, very unique situation, a very fun situation in regards to the wide receivers with he and Xavier Worthy. I think that would have been fun to watch, but I feel like without him, what did we do last year? After he got hurt against these same Chargers, what did we do last year? Who emerged as guys that made plays? You think about how debilitated this offense was without he, Hollywood Brown, and Isaiah Pacheco for a portion of the year, and yet we hit the ground and kept running. So I don't feel like when you talk about the offense, like if we were talking about Nick Bolton or Chris Jones being out, yeah, there might be some concern defensively. But when you talk about the offense, and like I call Andy Reid the mad scientist of offense, because he figures out ways, whether you're a rookie, second year guy, undrafted guy, what have you, he figures out ways to put you in situations to be successful and for the team to be successful with you on the field. So yeah, it's definitely a blow not to have Rashee. But to know now that we will have him after the six-game suspension, I feel like that should be an encouragement in itself.
Dan, I'm glad you bring up year two and all this sort of stuff. As being a former receiver in the league, I know that year two, you know, your workload gets added to it. You know, year one, survive, mm-hmm. make yourself known, be on the roster, come back the next year and really make yourself known. Xavier Worthy is that guy this year for me. I am not comparing him to Tyreek Hill. I hope everyone knows that. But we saw the jump that Tyreek Hill made with that speed, with that arm of Patrick mm-hmm. Mahomes in his second year in the league. Can we see a little bit of that with Xavier Worthy, like crispier routes, more field awareness, and more trust with Mahomes, to where that number kind of excels? Everybody goes, oh, crap, they got another one.
I think so. I think it only makes sense that your second year in this offense, and first, let's give him credit mm-hmm. for being a rookie and coming into this system. You know, think about how the year started last year, the training camps. We all know how tough Andy Reid's training camps are. And you're a rookie receiver that's coming in, first-round pick, and they throw the entire book at Xavier Worthy. And he soaks it up like a sponge, where you didn't see any kind of hiccup on the field last year. You never saw him out of position or Patrick Mahomes getting frustrated because he was supposed to line up on the left side and he lined up on the right side, or he didn't go in motion, or any of the things that would happen with normal rookies because they're just trying to get acclimated to the offense. No, he soaked everything up. Showed how smart he was, showed how cerebral he was on the field. So it only makes sense to think, you know what, the second year, like, buckle up, watch out, because this kid, you've had he be able to soak up all the successes last year, 9 touchdowns from scrimmage, and have the success that the team had. He's been able to taste that. And now you give them a whole offseason to take all of that information, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, the entire offensive staff, and say, you know what? We kind of think this Rashee Rice thing is going to hit ahead and he's going to be suspended. We don't know how much, but we got this whole offseason to construct things to expose defenses to Xavier Worthy, whether it's jet sweeps, shovel passes. I think he works better in the slot, outside the numbers, just lining up outside the numbers like your conventional wide receiver. I don't think that plays to his strength. But moving him around inside, kind of like Tyreek, I think is going to bode well for this offense. But like, it only makes sense that this year, now that he's got a season under his belt and had the success that he had, like, I think the confidence is going to be out the roof.
What do you think about Kelce this year? Because I think he's going to dominate and go out, you know, just on cloud nine. What do you think?
I think so, too. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder as well. I know we don't want to talk about, I know they have not talked about the Super Bowl since that Super Bowl, but like, being a player in that locker room, I remember Jim Harbaugh leading the Colts against us back in 95 and bursting out bubble and feeling and having that feeling throughout the offseason, not being able to wait, chomping at the bit to wait for the next season to start. And then the next time we get to see the Colts again. So, I think when you are Travis Kelce, you've had the successes you've had, but you also have that burning desire to go out on a high note, and that did not happen last year to the tune of it being an embarrassment. And I feel like when you're that old and you're recognizing you got more days behind you than ahead of you, you want to go out on your terms and you want to be able to showcase to the world that you're the best tight end that ever lived. And he has all that incentive in him, and I look forward to seeing how that's going to show itself on the field. And I think Patrick Mahomes has some incentive as well, to not saying that he's just going to be looking at Travis just for the sake of this might be Travis's last ride, but that's his security blanket. That's always been his security blanket. And to think that he's going to go out there and orchestrate 12 and 14 play drives and not look 87's way a few times would be ridiculous. So I think both of those guys have something to prove. And by all accounts, when you watch Travis in practice, you see how slim he is. You see how in shape he is. You see how fiery he is. I think other teams better beware.
Danon, have a safe flight to Sao Paulo. We'll be listening. I know you'll be on 96.5 The Fan on Friday night, 7 o'clock, start of the kickoff there. Have a safe flight, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, buddy.
Make sure, man. Those Chargers, you know, we gotta be scared. So, you know, talk a little lightly until the game, all right, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Danon.
Kick their ass 35-0. Let's go.
Yes, go. Let's do it.
That is Danon Hughes there on Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, brought to you also by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. Coming up on the other side, the College Football Weekend, plus Mac takes over the show with one word here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it. Don't forget, you can go to YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, however you want to do it, and find our live stream. And you can be in communication with us as well, as most of you are. You got Dylan on there, got Michael, you got a bunch of other people chatting on the live stream. Like, subscribe, and then it just pops up. So no text line, but we do have the live streaming text if you want to talk into there. You know, a lot of comments on the Likens Library. Some people don't get the bit, obviously, but that's just because it's a library. Welcome into the first week of the NFL season. Chiefs Chargers in Sao Paulo on Friday, 7 o'clock, right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals. Obviously, we'll get into some of that a little bit later as they play tonight. They had a really fortunate day yesterday. Texas, Cleveland, and Seattle all losing. Royals 2.5 out. They continue action tonight against those Angels. And then the Twins just go clean it up. Carter Jensen, the local kid on the squad now. Jack Caglione back from the rehab assignment on the squad now. We will see what happens the rest of the year, but the chase is on. 2.5 out. Just got to keep winning and then compete with these Kansas City Chiefs who start on Friday. But again, it was this week of college football, the weekend of college football. A lot of people maybe new to the sport. Week one is always kind of the way it always goes. It's hyped up. It's all these teams, new start. This guy's here. This recruit's here. This transfer's here. NIL talk, Bill Belichick, all this sort of stuff. And then after the week's over, you're like, eh. You know, it's like, were those, you know, those rankings correct?
So I always tell people, like, sports is great, and then the games happen. And then it, like, takes everything that you talked about all offseason long that was going to be great and changes everything. Because the Bill Belichick story, we heard all offseason long about everything but the football team. You have to wonder why we never heard much about that football team. And then you saw them, you know, in action last night. But expect the NFL to kind of be that way, too. I mean, it's going to be sloppy in the first week or so of the season. It has been since we've gone to the 17th game. It has been for a while since teams pretty much don't play anybody during the preseason. And that's what we saw in college football over the first, you know, week zero, if you will. And then week one is that you just have a lot of teams that haven't played together or at all in quite some time. And so it's sloppy at the beginning. It just happens that way.
And I thought it was kind of interesting too, watching the pregame of Carolina and TCU last night, as it was, what was it? The Chapel Bill, the, you know, all the funny sayings, and they were doing all the graphics on ESPN, you know, 49 years as an assistant or an NFL coach in the NFL, 6 Super Bowl titles. Now he's in Chapel Hill with Carolina, and then the game happened.
Yeah.
Started off great.
Great first
and
drive.
And then just 7 points the rest of the game, got absolutely demolished by TCU. But I think one thing that I did notice that was really interesting at halftime was when Pat McAfee was talking to Nick Saban. He goes, the problem that we have with college football is two things. One, the ranking system before the season starts. Nobody knows anything. Like, obviously in the pros, you know, if like Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, Jackson are all there, you're going to be like, Allen Jackson. You know that they're all going to be there. They're going to have probably a good chance unless an injury happens. But these teams should stay this way because they're professional athletes. The coaches are there. The talent's there. It's all developed. Whereas in college, they're basically ranking everybody off last year. Or they're basing them off hype. And we saw that with Texas, right? Mm-hmm. They go into the horseshoe and they get beat. I think Ohio State probably has the best defense in college football. They have the best defensive player in college football. They technically, I think, would say they have the best offensive player in college football. And the disappointing start for Arch Manning, and Texas was ranked number one. We've never really seen Arch as a starting quarterback go into Ohio State and try to be that guy. We found out very quickly that it wasn't the truth, and there'll be more time. Obviously he'll develop more, and I think there's still enough trust in that, but they said something about the rankings was like, maybe we should hold off for about 3 or 4 weeks and then get the rankings out, because Texas will play Ohio State last week and get absolutely blown out. Not blown out, but they got beat. This week they'll play
Houston or something. You something know?
I
yeah.
think it's, yeah, something like that. UTEP or something like that. And they're 36.5-point favorites. They'll win 42-3. And everybody like, that was the Texas team we were thinking about. First week's always kind of big with big matchups. Second week kind of falls off. The NFL kind of lives its up to its hype. Then by about week 4 or 5, you kind of understand like who might be this team, who is that squad that has a chance. But overall, a lot of unders hit like they always do in week one. A lot of overs will hit in it this coming week. But it was at least nice to kind of get what you mentioned earlier, the appetizer of football, which is the college football slate. Because I think a lot of people were probably tuned in last night to the Monday night game against TCU in North Carolina.
Yeah, and a lot of people tuned out once that started the second half.
75-yard touchdown runs.
I mean, there's video of students leaving in the third quarter. I mean, if that isn't the biggest indictment of your program is your student section is clearing out before the game's even over, it's a bad look. It was a bad look. I think Bill Belichick is the biggest loser by far this weekend. And because I think for my money anyway, it continues to question whether or not how good a head coach he really was. I mean, you have to start looking at everything in kind of a silo when it comes to Bill Belichick. Great silo with Tom Brady, not so good without Tom Brady, and then an abysmal start to the, like, it couldn't have gone any worse for Bill Belichick than it went yesterday. And, you know, I was sitting there watching the game. I looked at my wife at one point. I said, have they even mentioned the head coach for TCU? And this was like, you know, with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. She goes, no, I don't think they've mentioned his name yet, right? Like, they didn't even talk about Spike Dykes going in there and dominating Bill Belichick, right? Like, they did not give that guy one bit of credit. The entire pregame and everything was focused around Bill Belichick. Hopefully, and as it should have been, but hopefully now ESPN has got it out of their system, because the University of North Carolina is no different than Sam Houston State at this point in time. They're no different than Vanderbilt or any kind of bottom feeder of Cincinnati or UCF or anything like that. That's what North Carolina is. Bill Belichick can't carry them. He can't continue to push that narrative anymore because we saw what has happened. Bill Belichick without Tom Brady is a total zero. Bill Belichick without Tom Brady and Lawrence Taylor is a negative number. That's how bad he is without those two players. And so to expect that this was going to go well, I think a lot of us were kind of like hoping maybe it would be interesting. But after that first week, I mean, there is nothing interesting about North Carolina. And so I'm not in on getting rid of the ranking system. I like that at the beginning of the year. Kind of gives you an idea of who you should maybe be potentially following. Also gives people an opportunity to have upsets, but also gives people the opportunity to play to their seed. I mean,
sure.
You go out there and take care of business and do your thing. So I don't want to, I'm not into getting, I'm fine with the college football playoff rankings not coming out till later in the year. I like the preseason rankings. They're fun to talk about.
There was a big winner in college football this week, and it was Lee Corso.
This is one of the easiest picks I've ever made. Texas is loaded. Texas is number one. They have a Manning at quarterback.
I'm sorry?
Poor Ohio State. They ain't got a chance. Give me my first love.
Oh, there it is.
Here it comes.
So that is Lee Corso. Kind of tell why it's just the last of the hurrah, but he goes 6-0 on all of his picks. And then Ohio Heck State, yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, they gifted him the original mascot.
That is awesome.
Of their mascot of the first time ever did a show. And like, here you go, man. Here's the Buckeye or whatever his name is. Bucky, whoever. I don't even know what his name is. But they gave him the mascot head that he put on the first time ever when he did a show. And then, of course, goes 6-0 on his way out. Says, peace, I'm done. Enjoy your life. I'm going to finish mine out. Just retired. Not doing anything again. But I thought that was great that he went 6-0 in his college football
picks. I did, too. It was fun, man. Like,
yeah,
it was great. And, you know, it was just like I think everybody was watching, too. They set a record. 5.1 million people watched the Lee Corso final show on ESPN, which was a record for college game day. Don't try to recreate that, though. I mean, I saw an article this morning. What is ESPN going to do now that Lee Corso? Some things just happen naturally, right? Like, you don't have to try to force something, or please don't let make Herbie's dog pick or something like that, that, you know, just is not going to go great to try to force something home at the end like they did with Lee Corso. He was unique. He was different. He was a big part of why college football became popular in this country. So honor him and do what you need to do. But please don't make a mockery of it and, you know, have Herb Street putting on a head or, you know, somebody of that nature.
Yeah,
we don't need to see anything like that. You can have your pick segment at the end. Maybe McAfee kicks for a winner or something like that and decides. But just don't try to force something that's going to be fake and phony when it comes to trying to replace Lee Corso. But I thought that was beautiful on Saturday with him. And I love that Fox went into the coverage as well and put it on their broadcast.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
There it is, oatmeal raisin. We'll continue with some college football stuff. Real quick, though, you mentioned Sam Houston. Texas plays Sam Houston in 3 weeks. There are two games in between that, San Jose State and UTEP. Their next three games are a total joke. That is ridiculous.
And what's that going to tell you other than hopefully for their minds developing some confidence from Arch Manning? Because after that game, Arch Manning can't be feeling – he's not played good in college football yet.
Nope, not against real teams. I'll give you that. He played well against two games last year against non-real opponents. But
he threw for, 900 yards and 7 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, exactly. One of them was against
blowout fashion.
Ladies of Perpetual Sorrow, whoever. Yeah. But, in 3 weeks, in four weeks, they go to Florida. So they go to the Swamp. That's going to be another big moment for him,
man. Peyton
could
never win there.
Yep.
I mean, the two biggest brands are Texas and Alabama in the SEC. You can argue all you want. They're the two biggest monetary brands in the league, and they both got beat. On Saturday.
Be bad. Well, Texas didn't get beat bad.
No, but they didn't show up. Like,
didn't show up. Yeah, no, you're right.
It wasn't a game.
Or Ohio State has a really effing good defense, dude.
They do. Like, they do. I think
but also, they only
true.
Scored 14 points, too. But it was just like, you saw Arch Manning. And I was joking with you on the first play. Well, Arch can't make all the throws.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was like a precursor to what was really going to be
happening.
Yeah, it was
the rest of the day.
It really was. He just was not impressive at all. And the kid from TCU was great last night.
and Ryan Day has his nipples pierced.
Yes.
Awesome. One word on K-State, 1-1, barely getting by North Dakota this weekend.
Didn't make the 96.5 radar.
96.5 fan, home for K-State Wildcats.
Just being honest, Dusty. Not on the radar.
I would say questions. I know after the first game of the year, a lot of people, when it was in Dublin and they lost to Iowa State, there was a lot of people on the text line when we used to have it before our boss took it away, saying that the offensive coordinator is in question. They're not calling the right plays. They're not doing what they need to do with Avery Johnson. Week two of college football, kind of the same. Like, here we are again, Kleinman, there's going to be questions. Manhattan's kind of roaring a little bit. But questions, you know, can you get that offense rolling? Can you get that team where it's supposed to be? 1-1.
Avery Johnson was supposed to be a Heisman candidate, right?
Sleeper. Yeah, not a front runner.
To be fair, he has played well.
Yeah, I thought he played well in the first game, offensively, from where he's supposed to be there. And then the second game, he was good. But again, there's questions for that offense of what they're trying to accomplish with Kansas State over there in Manhattan. But again, got a whole season ahead of you. You're 1-1. You went 0-2, and you would have lost that game. Season is over.
Oh,
I mean, that's college football
in
a nutshell.
Yeah, losing to North Dakota. Not that that's a bad program to lose to, but you're Kansas State. You've got to beat a team like North Dakota.
Sure.
One word on KU.
Football. It's hard. I mean, how do we judge anything based on these first couple of weeks of the season, right? You beat Wagner. You beat, you know, North Dakota. You beat Central Methodist or whoever Missouri played, you know.
East Toenail State.
Yeah, like I don't know what to say about any of these early programs about what they are about because we just don't know. You know, we just don't know, and we don't know what kind of test, which I don't think it's much of any. I don't think, other than obviously K-State being tested by Iowa State, Missouri and Kansas haven't been tested yet. That's why this weekend's game, the hell knows? Who knows what you're going to do when it comes to a betting standpoint, because both teams blew out their opponent by 60 points over the weekend.
Yeah, you got to think that the word to describe the Kansas Jayhawks is, you know, Mizzou, and the word to describe Mizzou is Kansas, because this is what we love. This is what we want. This is what we want to watch. We want the nostalgia. We want Missouri versus Kansas. Yeah. We want Duke versus North Carolina. We want Tennessee, Florida. We want Alabama, Georgia. We want these games because whereas Mizzou might be better than KU or KU might be better than Mizzou, they're both going to fight like dogs in this game. Oh, yeah. And I promise you at 2:30 on Saturday, the hype will be there. It will be real in Columbia, and everybody's ready for this game. And I cannot wait to see Daniels versus Bo. We'll see what it is.
That's where we got, you know, out of whack. You know, in college sports, we got rid of the rivalries
play
that mattered.
The hits.
And this is what people want. We play this year and next year, and there's like a 10-year gap, I guess, till the new Arrowhead gets built or something, and then we can have it yearly, you know, here in Kansas City, maybe. But these are the games that people want. You don't want to see your team play Wagner or Central Methodist or any of these schools. You want the rivalry games. And we finally have this rivalry game back.
Real quick, one word on MU. You guys kind of talked about it.
Yeah, rivalry game. Yep. He mentioned it. Yeah, yep. We'll wait and see what happens on Saturday. I don't know who should be the favorite in this one other than I think Mizzou should because SEC, I guess. I don't know. But who's got the better quarterback going into this game?
Yeah, again, Mizzou's one word, Kansas. Kansas one word, Mizzou. Border war, border attack, whatever you want to call
it. Fire the audio, Mac. Get people fired up this morning. Let's go.
It started with bloodshed.
Kill all the men, rape all the women, burn the damn town down.
Actual bloodshed.
I don't like the University of Missouri.
I tell you, Kansas State's a rivalry. Missouri's a war.
I don't like their players. I don't like their love.
Not your rival. It's a war.
I don't like a damn thing about it.
We're playing Missouri, so that means an awful lot to our fan base, and it means an awful lot to our guys.
There are only 49 stars on that flag.
I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
See, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. We have had that taken away from us for so long because of greed, and now we get it back. May the best team win.
And if you want to get in your feels about that game, you can check out Carrington's new documentary he's got working out, Armageddon at Arrowhead, which was the battle of KU versus Mizzou in those great 2 years, which I did hear a rumor that Pinkel might have a photo in his office at his house of Todd Reesing pulling the chunks of grass out of his helmet.
Nice.
That is great. Mizzou opens up as 6.5-point favorites, over under 15.5 for that contest Saturday at 2:30. One word real quick, two more. One word, Royals weekend.
You know, I'd like to see you do more. Tolbert, I think, is the word I'll use for the weekend, because if he's not in there, they probably sweep.
Well,
he stinks. That guy in center field was a butcher. So Tolbert is what I'll use.
Me and my brother had an argument about it. I'm glad you're on that side, because I was too.
How could you not be?
Oh, he was making yeah.
He's a dang butcher out there.
Could have had Isbell in center, Cags and Cags is back. Here we are, September 2nd. The roster is expanded.
He's kind of butchered it out there in right too, though.
Yeah, but if you were to put a blindfold on and say you want Cags or Tolbert, I think the unanimous decision would be Jack Cagley.
I don't understand why we're at the crunch time of the season and Kyle Isbell is not playing every day. Analytics.
And Yastrzemski needs to be playing every day.
Absolutely. Yep,
both those guys.
Yeah, I would say the one word was saved for the Royals, because yesterday Texas, Seattle, and Cleveland all lose. You went from, what, like 3.5 out to 2.5 in a matter of, 24 hours, because everybody above you doesn't want it either. Somebody go take it. That's all I have to say. Somebody go take that spot. Seattle clearly doesn't want it. The Royals don't want it. Uh-huh. Cleveland doesn't want it. Texas doesn't want it. Or they want it for a series and they don't. It's like
25 games left. Somebody go grab it, man.
Buckle up. 12 more games left at the K as well.
And one word. It's Chiefs week, baby. One word. Chiefs, Chargers.
Let's
go.
Friday.
Let's go. Come on.
Let's go. One word. Let's go.
Come on.
Yeah. Amped, man. This is where it's at. We survived the offseason. We did all of our food takes where everybody goes, oh, football week's back. Now we don't have to hear about cheese and pepperoni.
No. We'll still be doing that.
Yeah.
Hate to bring it to games.
Yeah, that could still happen. But I mean, I'm just amped, excited, horny, everything you could think of when it comes to this game. And here we are. And the best part about it is, it's Friday at 7. Yes. I mean, I can't think of a better time period than an NFL game with your team playing than Friday at 7, because then Saturday, Mizzou, KU at 2:30, and then Sunday, the entire NFL slate.
I know that I'm hard.
You'd have no idea. Dude, yes. I woke up this morning just pissed excellence, knowing, I mean, it was red, not blood. It was Chiefs Kingdom red urine, ready to flow in this city, because I'm so excited for football to be back. It is just absolutely great. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into some predicting of the future, and we'll talk about one man. That one man's name is Patrick Mahomes, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
One is here. It has arrived. Whether you like it or not, the NFL is back. College football can now take a back seat for at least this week, because the NFL has arrived. Our first game is Thursday night. Eagles will unveil the banner. The Cowboys will.
Are they, though? Because they've been telling us the Super Bowl's in the past. So that being said, there should be no banner unveiling on Thursday night for Philadelphia, right?
No, they'll. Sirianni's going to cry, all that sort of stuff.
I mean, they should for the fans, but I mean, all offseason it's been about that. Didn't matter. That was yesterday's news. That's not today. So it'd be interesting to see how they handle that.
Yeah,
they
got to have a room then.
Yeah, that's an interesting
stay
one.
Stay in the locker room.
Stay in the locker room. Yeah, make it about the fans and stay in the locker room and come out when it's all. That's a great idea, actually.
Sure,
I like that, right?
Yeah, don't celebrate something that's like the greatest accomplishment of your life. Why
would you do that?
Well, I mean, you've been telling us all offseason it doesn't matter, right? None of that matters. Anytime somebody asks about it, none of it matters, doesn't matter, then put your mouth where your money is, right? Or where your money where your mouth is.
Good.
No, I was going to say TCU's tweet this morning. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh my God.
They quote tweeted the Carolina football program with that show coming out about them. They go, when's episode one drop?
they tweeted at
shots fired.
Deadspin as well.
Deadspin's still a thing?
Apparently. speaking of putting it in the past, this was Chris Jones, I believe, on Sunday after practice talking about last year's Super Bowl loss.
It wasn't our day. They beat the brakes off of us. Still got Biltmarks on me, but you know, it's something you can build off of. It's something you can build off of. You can learn a lot through that. Watching a game, how we play, and it's more so it's about how you respond. Because eventually you're gonna get knocked down, but the response is the most important thing.
I love that by Chris Jones. I absolutely love everything that he said there. Like, that got me excited. He's absolutely right. It's not that we got beat. How are we going to respond from that? And we've had basically 6 months to figure out a way to respond to what has been said, to what has happened, to the way that we played in that game. And you've got to look inside yourself and say, okay, how did we play in that game? And they weren't good. And Chris Jones admitted to that. And so that's your last performance of the year. You know that's bothering them. You know that's gnawing at them inside. You know they want to exact revenge, because I think they're going to come off a loss, in my opinion anyway, better than the Eagles come off the win, because the Chiefs have been there. They know how to handle all of this kind of stuff. We'll see if the Eagles know how to handle winning and being on top. Everybody's attacking the Eagles this year.
And I think that's great, because I think it all focuses on the guy that mans the ship. And I'm not talking about Andy Reid or Brett Veach. I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes. I think this is one of those years. I've said it before and I'll continue to say it. I think this is an MVP Pat type of season. We've talked about the trust that I think we've already seen develop in preseason for a few plays, but a few drives with Josh Simmons. The left side looks like it might be a little bit more secure than it has been in the past. When you don't have to worry about that, you can step up in that pocket. You can let Xavier Worthy get open. You can see Patrick Mahomes kind of get back to his roots of what he is. And when you talk about, you know, it's in the past, rebuild yourself. And I've said this 1,000 times before. Sometimes you got to be broken to 100 pieces to build yourself back up even stronger. This seems like, hey, here we go. We still went to the Super Bowl last year. We still were the number one seed, still won 15 games, still did all this, but it wasn't good enough. Mahomes gets the quarterback, goes 15-1 last year, wins the AFC West again. If he wins it again this year with the Kansas City Chiefs, he will tie Bill Belichick for 11 consecutive seasons of winning their division.
10,
yeah. I thought they won 10 last year.
No, this is year 10.
Okay. And when you look at what could happen for Patrick Mahomes in this Kansas City Chiefs season, this is where I think you look at where it all starts and where everything works. 15. Because the guy can't win unless he wins, if that makes sense, right?
No, I don't even know if he can win if he wins.
He has to win Super Bowls in order to get the respect.
But then they say, well, he didn't have enough passing yards. He didn't have enough touchdowns. Joe Burrow was better in this situation or that situation. Like, Mahomes almost has to play a perfect game, you know, a perfect season. He needs to do 50 and 5,000 and win the Super Bowl, I think, for people to actually give him that credit. Because we've seen him win the Super Bowl, and then they say, well, it's not good enough. Or you see last year, he gets all the way to the Super Bowl. Not good enough for Patrick Mahomes. If he's top five in every category this year, is that good enough for Patrick Mahomes this year?
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Yes, for sure. We haven't seen that recently.
Yeah,
what if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, though? Who the hell cares at that point in time?
Well, you're talking about what people care about?
Yeah.
I think, to answer your question, I think if Matt Holmes had a Joe Burrow season like last year, people would be like, best quarterback in the league. Mahomes is back. They would not be caring about the wins, the division.
Isn't that stupid?
Stupid, but I think that's kind of reality. I don't know if I'm off base there.
I don't know if you are or not, and I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that either. Yeah,
but
I don't think we will.
I want to see, you know, what we've been seeing, like Mahomes be in the top five of every category and win the Super Bowl, right?
Mm, yep.
Would that signify to the naysayers out there and to the dopey Von Dopersons that I think he's better than Joe Burrow? Or like, what do we got to wait for to prove it? Because, you know, the bar for Patrick Mahomes, guys, just continues to be pushed and pushed and pushed. And it's almost, in my opinion anyway, getting to the point where no matter what he does, he's just not going to be acceptable for some people out there. He's got to do so much in order to be in the good graces of some folks out there.
I think when it comes to it, I was watching, I think it was 2 weeks ago, on First Things First, and Brew and Nick were going back and forth and talking, and they were asking about, like, what is it, you know, where does Patrick Mahomes land? And Nick Wright was like, well, if he beats Josh Allen and goes to the Super Bowl and wins, but he does it with the stats that he did this past year, he's not the best quarterback, he's not that mm-hmm. great, but he won a Super Bowl. But if he loses to
Josh... So he's Joe Flacco.
Right. Yeah. So then if he loses to Josh Allen, but he throws for 50 and 5,000 the whole year, it's like, well, the stats are there, but the dynasty's over, and Patrick Mahomes isn't the best because he can't beat Josh Allen. It's
right,
like, the guy can't win unless he wins, which is, unless he wins a Super Bowl, because it doesn't matter at that point, because we know that his career is going to be another 8-9 years at least. So the numbers will just be there because he's gotten off to such a hot start that at the end of his career, you'll start seeing the names above him will be Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. It'll be those three names, and then it'll be leapfrogging those until he gets to where it's Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes.
Because I'll take the flip side of that and say, what are we chasing numbers for anymore? We already know he's a Hall of Famer. We already know he's one of the greatest of all time. The only thing that people should be caring about is the number of Super Bowls and rings that Patrick Mahomes has.
And that's all he cares about. That's all that matters to me.
Exactly. And that's all I care about with Patrick Mahomes. And so for 6 months, we had to listen to nonsense of where he's not in this category and where he's not in that category. But when it comes to the winning category, he is still on top. And if Patrick Mahomes throws for 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 20 interceptions, and they win the Super Bowl, I don't care about any of that. None of that is going to change my opinion of who Patrick Mahomes is, because it is all about winning those championships. However you have to win championships, you go ahead and you find ways to do that. And that's been the best thing, in my opinion, about Patrick Mahomes, is that he's found different ways almost every single year where the offense has changed and it's different and it's not the same to do it in different ways. And people still want to continue to run him down because the expectation level is so extremely high. There's one goal for Patrick Mahomes this year: win the Super Bowl, and that is it. And if he doesn't do it with pretty numbers, I don't really care what the rest of the world has to say about him anymore.
It is kind of funny too, because if he wins the Super Bowl this year, that'd be 3 in 4 years. Mm-hmm. That'd be 4 straight Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah.
That'd be what, 9 consecutive AFC championship games, or 8, whatever the hell it is. 6, 7, 8, yeah, who cares?
Yeah. Going for the 10th AFC, yeah, so it'll be the 9th, yes.
9th consecutive AFC champion.
No, it's not the 9th.
Because they're going for the 10th division title this
right.
year.
Right, yeah. But they win a couple of those before Mahomes yes. out there. Right. So what, they've got the 7 straight AFC championship games?
This is his 8th year as a starter.
8th year as a starter. So
8 consecutive AFC championship games, right. 4 consecutive Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl wins in 4 years.
And people are still saying things that are stupid.
Well, you know what they say. Let them talk.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Or maybe they're just boneheads. And speaking of that, we get to Bob's Bonehead of the Week on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Borey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.